Welcome to the International Franchise Association's Women Franchise Committee podcast, Her Success, the Stories of Female Franchise Leaders. I'm Leanne Caruso, and today I have the honor of interviewing Megan Allen. She's the market president for FranNet of Colorado. And I'm sure many of you know her. I had the pleasure to connect with her recently, and we have many mutual connections, and I'm very excited to talk to you today. So thank you so much for joining us, Megan.
Thanks for having me. I love the IFA and the Women's Network.
Well, you're very popular amongst franchising and women in franchising. So I would love to hear more about your story and your journey and what you've been doing and where you are today.
Yeah, so a lot of people know, but not maybe the back end. When I was in high school, my dad worked at a local Colorado franchisor. It was actually for telecommunications and I am dating myself a little bit, but really large phone systems. And so they would negotiate with Panasonic or whatever, right? The big companies, and then they would have better deals for the franchisees. So, you know, there's all types of franchising, and right from the get, I was not in fast food in franchising. And so what I did is I learned a lot there. It was kind of like an intern, but they did pay me. And back then you would file everything, you know, hard copy and fax everything. And so that was kind of where I got my start. And then I went to Denver Metro, which is downtown Denver, which was a great decision because I could commute. And I worked part-time. Sometimes I would clean office buildings, do whatever I had to really get through college. And then my dad, about junior year of college, my dad wanted me to come and work with him because he had started a little equipment leasing company based on his experience with that franchisor. I did, and I would go after school, you know, in the afternoons and work, but eventually it became very, very successful, and we ended up getting enough business that another broker company wanted to purchase my dad and I's book of business, so we did that. We went to that company, and then that company actually got purchased by American Express. So a little bit of a twisted path, but I ended up with a really amazing Fortune, you know, 100 company. And I learned so much about self-development while I was there. I had the Holiday Inn account in Intercontinental Hotels Group. They were doing all of the remodeling. They call it a property improvement plan. So I got out there into the world with my printed map quests and got on the road and met just the most amazing hospitality franchisees. You know, 20, 30 Holiday Inns. I would go to all the conferences. And I just really enjoyed, you know, working directly with a business owner that was so successful. So I learned a lot from my clients and my customers, and they would say, hey, you know, these are the ups and downs. And so I kind of got my head around, do I want to, after this, get out of the financial side of franchising and being a supplier to go ahead and work for a franchisor? And timing is everything in life. A friend of a friend, because Denver is pretty small, knows our new Heidi Ganahl, the founder of Camp Bow Wow, and it was just 6 Denver units at the time. And we got on the cover of AOL. I was one of the first non-family members to work at Camp Bow Wow. Got on the front page of AOL, gorgeous picture of Heidi holding a little yellow lab puppy. And it was just like such a memorable picture and like the story, like, did you know that you could actually make money taking care of dogs, right? And so that was kind of the beginning of what I would say is the good times before the 2008 crash of franchising, where people were really innovative and it showed at IFA every year, you know, just getting to know all of the big vendors, and we all became friends. And, you know, Leanne, I'm shocked we didn't meet at some point along these travels. But, yeah, I think that it's about a tribe and a community, and even more so if you drill down to the Women's Franchise Network and how we all support each other. And I go to the meetings every week or every month, you know, when they're here in Denver. Of course, it's been virtual, but there's just so much support. And I don't know, you know, there's a lot of industries that become very small, but franchising feels like one of the smallest, biggest industries that you could probably be in. And I really just haven't looked back. And during my time at Camp Bow, I was there for 10 years. We really faced every challenge you could, right? And kept working together. You know, it was all women in the executive team. It was myself, Heidi, and our controller, Rachel. And you know, we put something really special together, and we had a lot of special employees that were very loyal to the brand and wanting to grow and do the work and also, you know, move into a VP title and things like that. So that's some of my favorite things that I've done, is helping develop other people.
That's great. So tell me about what your trajectory through Camp Bow Wow. So you started off in one place and ended in another, obviously. So you had some big growth and big development in Camp Bow Wow, and then kind of lead us into where you are now.
Heidi and I were just so open to learning, I think, is one thing. And we would, this sounds crazy for people on the outside, but we would like switch whole departments. Like, you manage marketing for 3 months and help facilitate this project, like a rebranding project. Or, hey, I want to focus on performance. During the 2008, I was very focused on making sure the franchisees knew what their profit was and training them on their numbers so they could be more profitable. So we hired a wonderful financial analyst that came in. So I think, to your point, I started out in one kind of realm, and that was more of the real estate and the strategic part of getting open and zoning and getting into all of that, which of course I had no idea that that was the job I was going to take. I just took the job that needed the focus, and I just laugh so hard. I'm like, I cannot believe, you know, it's like, I always joke that in franchising, it's like Malcolm Gladwell, you know, with the Outliers, where if you do something for 10,000 hours, you're just much more of an expert than most people could ever hope to be. And so that's kind of how I embraced every change I had at Camp Bow Wow. We wanted to do retail. Well, we realized that we could not get the low enough point to beat Petco and PetSmart. And it was okay, because it wasn't, people were picking up and dropping off their dog. They weren't thinking about buying a rawhide, right? Or whatever. So we were constantly innovating in, you know, iPhone app and, you know, like making sure that everything was really upfront, transparent with the end user, the pet parent, as we call it. And it's just like so much fun thinking about, I am making dogs' lives better. Literally, they will not get put down and put to sleep. We are going to get 10,000 adoptions done through the camps this year. You know, we had goals that other people would look at and say, well, how do you monetize that? Well, you literally do, because then you have a two dog household instead of a one, right? So talking in these terms, it's like, I miss it, but I think we did such a good job that, you know, everybody there is really holding on the candle, and it's been really nice to see them grow too. And now that they're owned by Mars, the candy company, unfortunately it's a private company, so nobody really knows performance, but I think that's pretty cool. You know, something was started in Denver, Colorado, is a great idea. I mean, this is a franchise story of success. So, and it was fun.
That's great. So you ended Camp Bow Wow as COO when you got to your next adventure. And what did you do after that?
So I started a kind of like a franchise consulting or franchisor consulting, because I only worked with franchisors for 6 years, almost 7 years. And what I found was some of my strengths were, you know, organizing FDDs so that they could be a sales tool, because they really should be anyways. And that was really fun to work with those different brands. The brands I worked with were, you know, plus over 100 units. They weren't a lot of emerging. They were pretty much settled, but you never stop trying in franchising, and you always try to make it better and better so that the right people are attracted to buy the franchise. And I think that that was actually just as fun as Camp Bow Wow for me, because I got to really help people be proud of what they've built at their franchise and make sure that we sell it properly so people can see the value, right? And so I think at the end of the day, what you really look at when you look at a body of work or your whole career, 27 years, who's counting though? Ha ha, just kidding. I think when I look at the each person, and that I'm still in touch with so many of my proteges from these different businesses, and I have done business with them and other companies, and I think about the long-term relationships with the franchise owners that have bought other franchises from me, it is like, wow, it is a tribe, you know, and people that know your work and they know your heart, they want to be around you, and I want to be around them because they know me too. So it's fun to meet new friends like you and I just feel like it's always evolving, right? And so really that's why I'm here at Franet now as the market president for Colorado. Is I'm a native of Colorado. I have not been a franchisee myself, and it was about time for me to walk the walk, right? And if I want to help other people find franchises, I need to know what it's like to go through 3 months of intensive training to get open and learning all the personalities of the people at corporate and who does what and all the things that I've been able to see on the other side. I've got so much joy out of doing it for myself. And I think it's going to help me a lot in my career at Franet because I really do know every kind of touch point of franchising.
Right. You've been literally in every department. You've experienced it with sleeves rolled up. You've done it all. Franchisor to doing it on your own as a entrepreneur and visionary, but you believe in franchising so much. So it seems like a company like Franet only makes the most sense for you to kind of have a combination of all three. So what led you to Franet and what are you doing now? I know you're relatively new to the organization, so it's probably a lot of learning and a lot of overwhelm, but you know a lot of people and you know a lot of things. So what are you doing now? Tell me about that.
So I have been reaching out to really strong referral partners. I am doing volunteering for SCORE, which is an amazing resource that the SBA, Small Business Administration, provides to communities. There's another one that's called SBDC, which is also part of SCORE. So I started there. I've done all my training. I will be helping people with business plans and, you know, things that have nothing to do with franchising. But it really is a challenge for me to make sure I stay on the front end of what's going on by this volunteering, because then I can say with sincerity, this is how long it's going to take you to get your SBA loan. And, you know, by helping other people, regardless of what they're up to and what they're trying to build, I get to kind of keep my skills going too in that. And then, of course, there's all kinds of referral partners that Franet uses and has had success with. And a lot of that is outplacement firms and people that are really trying to search for their next big thing. And I think it's fun for us to be able to show them a path that maybe they thought was only McDonald's or Chick-fil-A, right? And find something that they can be passionate about, because I think you really do have to be, you can't just buy something to be an absentee owner in hopes of making money. I think that's a big myth. I think you really do need to be, at least if you care about the people that are in your business and help them develop too. And that's something I learned directly from Heidi. And it's been very helpful because everybody wants to try to win. It's just, you can pretty easily pick who wants to win hard, you know, go in hard and really want to be an expert in something. So I enjoyed that part of it. And just, hey, you know, it's no issue if they decide that they're just not ready to own a business. It's a lot of work. I can, you know, tell you that. That's to your point of what your question was. It's like, it is. I am going back and reviewing some of the training, and everything is so organized at Franet that I'm not like sitting here wondering how to do something. I have a coach, you know, and Tracy, and I have a peer coach, and that is much different than other franchisors where they just want you to talk to corporate office. So the collaboration and everything, I feel like I fit right in because that's who I am, just fundamentally. I would always share things with people that worked and go out of my way to share it and share vendors and things like that. So I've found my home, I think. I think I've really kind of found the last phase of my career where I can still be my own boss and still do what I want, but have all these amazing resources and experiences.
Well, you're in such a unique position to have the entrepreneurish vision and, you know, kind of soul, which being a business owner, you kind of have to have, and being the consultant. I swear I turned off my alarms. I apologize if they keep going off. but to be able to look at it from both perspectives, and of course with Camp Bow Wow, you had the opportunity to, you know, help other people become business owners and help them live out their dreams and, you know, their locations. So you get to do the same thing with new people. And so I think you'll have a unique connection with interested people looking to start a business for themselves. Tell me about, kind of your proudest moment in franchising.
Oh, wow.
I know you have many and it's probably hard to pick, but you have some cool stories and some cool paths to your journey that have kind of, gone different directions and led you to here. So tell me about the proudest moments.
I think one of the early memories that I have, and I know Heidi shares this, is that we weren't taken real seriously at IFA. And there was no reason for them to, by the way, because it was so different, right? It was dog care, and sized yards and, all this craziness. And, somebody in the sandwich industry said, well, aren't you too cute, you little dog girls? And I remember thinking, well, aren't we? We are cute. You're right. Compliment, because I know what he was really trying to say. I took it as a compliment because we would be wearing our Camp Bawa everywhere. I mean, if I went to Home Depot, it was brand, right? At the airports, everybody would say, what's Camp Bawa, right? And so it couldn't have been more fun at that point because it wasn't as big as it is now. And, they have 180 units. When I left, we had about 130. And I think my biggest accomplishment is the lives I've changed through the hard work and stick-to-it-ness that we had with Camp Bawa for the operational side of it. It wasn't just for branding. It wasn't just to look good, on webcams. It was really because we wanted the dogs to have the time of their life and to lose weight or have a pet parent that could actually do their job and not worry about their dog not being taken care of so they could have that companionship for stress, when they got home. Just like all of these little things I think I mentioned earlier that we put such a metric be around, fostering dogs at the camp and teaching them how to socialize and becoming, part of families because of that. And at the end of the day, I think Camp Bawa is just such a wonderful part of my life that you couldn't really replace it. You know what I mean? Like you just really couldn't put 10 years of that into, it's almost like you repress some of the bad and only think of the good when you work a job for that long. But, I think my best moment was when we went back to IFA after we sold the business and what a success it was. I was so happy for Heidi too, as the owner, because she got to say, oh, y'all thought we were a bunch of crackpots, right? But we're not. And we did it. And VCA, which is a huge veterinarian chain, liked what we did so much. It wasn't just about, they were a strategic buyer, right? Because they wanted to get into that game and they had tried to and hadn't been able to. And so then they had that resource for cross referrals and it just made me really happy. And then when they were sold to Mars, I felt the same way. I'm like, wow, that little engine that could, right? And it's not as big as PetSmart or Petco, but it actually shouldn't be, right? It's a very community-driven franchise. And it's not exactly like they're giving them away, right? You have to put the investment in the front end because it's a lot of wear and tear, right? So you have to have the right panels for the fencing and things like that. But I just smile every time I talked to a franchisee yesterday. We did a happy hour call with each other and she just bought a second Camp Bawa. So they call me still and they want to talk and share their stories. And I'm proud of that. I really am.
Well, you're a special part of their journey too. All right. I'm going to ask you the hard question.
Okay.
If you could tell yourself one thing 20 years ago, what would that be?
Oh God. Slow down. Don't put so much pressure on yourself to do everything in a way where no one could ever redo it, right? Or to be offended if someone doesn't like your idea. Because, constructive criticism is really part of growing. And I won't lie, I took some things pretty harsh, right, in my career. And I really wish that I hadn't. But you can't help who you are, at the same time. So you regret it and you look back and you say, oh, I could have handled that better. But then you think, but the way I handled it is truly who I am. And that person probably knew I was going to handle it. Right. So it's one of those things where as a woman in franchising, and thank goodness it's just blown up, right? I mean, it's night and day to when I started in franchising with the equity of women and men in the business. Now, I just look at some of the folks like Catherine, who was in, Catherine Monson, who was in Fast Times when we were growing Camp Bow Wow, all these other women that I share an affinity for, who I met at IFA and we did roundtables together and we all kind of stuck it out and had a good time. I think that makes me really, really happy that no matter what hardship I had to face, people not taking me seriously or what have you, those days are gone and I have no story about it anymore. And it feels so amazing to not be a young person that feels like I'm not going to get a break because I'm a woman, because I didn't accept that back then. Right. And I don't accept it now. I don't see how it matters what I am. And that's a really big part of society right now, is that you can do whatever you want if you really want to do it.
That's right. I love that. Yeah. I think that's really important. I think you're a force to be reckoned with, and I'm excited to see what you do with Fran, with your new business in FranNet. And I think you're just going to do wonderful. Really excited to see your next steps and how you grow. So that's all I have for you. Did you have any parting comments?
Stick with it, ladies. If you want to be in franchising, it's a long road, but I'll tell you, there's so many ways you can be involved in franchising. So don't be afraid to learn or take a new job. Give it 3 or 4 years if you can. And then you will see, as you grow in franchising, how much you learn at each, stop on your path, how much you learn and how much it applies to everything in franchising. And so I think that's the really cool thing for everyone to think about, is take some chances. I mean, Camp Bow was a risk. I made a lot of money at American Express, but I never looked back. I believed in it. So if you believe in something, I don't care if it's CRM software, if you think it's going to make one person's life better, take the job, learn the industry or the subsegment of that industry, and then move on and apply it to another part of franchising. And, for sure, 30-year career, no problem.
Yeah. And I love you have the opportunity to have learned all of the parts. So, all of the inner workings of. But that will help.
POS system. We did a POS system, but it almost killed all of us, but it was worth it because it helped the franchisees, right? So there's these big projects in franchising as a franchisor. And then when you see the payoff, you're like, yes.
Yeah.
Right. And that feels
good. Yeah. You know more about POS systems than you ever wanted to know, but glad you know them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Love it.
Thank you again, Megan. It's a pleasure. And we will post this on the International Franchise Association Women in Franchise Committee website. It'll be on YouTube and on Social Geek Radio. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good one.